You saw it down. But we're going to look at the piece that we're up to is Os Nun Ches. And you could see that I added in source 2 and 3, Reish Samach Vav. And source number 3 was supposed to say Reish Samach Zayin. I know they both say Reish Samach Vav, so just make a little note of that. Okay, so let's learn three pieces of Sichos Haran. And the topic that Rabbi Nachman wants to introduce us to today is the importance of coming up with Chidushei Torah. Now you might say, hold on a second. We might say, not you, we might say, we're just beginners. I'm just learning how to read other people's Sfarim. I'm already up to writing my own Sfarim. So says Rabbi Nachman, a Jew has to understand his ability to make Chidushei Torah, and you have to understand the responsibility of making Chidushei Torah, and you don't have to be overwhelmed by it. Now we'll see why, by the end, maybe we'll understand why he's so interested in this, but here's how he begins. Kishachoshvin Torah. When you're contemplating Torah, a pasuk, a gemara, Maimer Chazal, whatever sefer you're looking at, kishachoshvin Torah, tzarech lios choshev hadvar Torah sherotze lechadish ba. You need to contemplate the chiddush that you're trying to have. So, if you're reading the pasuk Bereishis bara Elokim, so you should be thinking, I wanna find the chiddush in Bereishis bara Elokim. A lot has been written about the first three words of the Torah, but I want to find a chiddush. And I need to contemplate it continuously. Lachshov, v'lachzor, b'machshavto, oso a pasuk, or oso a inyan. To repeat over and over again that pasuk, or that idea in my mind, until I have what would be considered a breakthrough idea. Now again, it doesn't have to be a breakthrough at the level of Rabbi Akiva Eger, or Rav Chaim Brisker on the Rambam. It doesn't have to be a whole arichas explaining a whole sugya in Chumash, like a piece from Rav Moshe Wolfson or something like that, right? But whatever you're learning, it's important for a person to believe that he has the ability to mechadish, to add something new. Why is that so? Maybe it goes back to that piece we saw from the Yesod HaAvoda, quoting the Arizal a couple shiurim ago. The Yesod HaAvoda was the first Lama Rebbe. If you remember, he quoted the Arizal of saying that every person and every time and every moment in a person's life is entirely unique. So you'll say, what do you mean? There's so many people have read the words Bereishis bara Elokim before. But your neshama, in the way that it exists now, at this point in time, both in terms of your life, however old you are, and in this point in time, Tafshin Ayin Tes, in the place that you're learning it, understanding it in context of all the other Torah that you know, whether it's a lot or a little bit, is a unique opportunity to understand Bereishis bara Elokim like never before in history. Again, you may not have the ultimate chiddush of history on the words Bereishis bara Elokim, but to believe that your insight into Bereishis bara Elokim is important and it matters. In fact, if you look in the Sefer Chassidim, or Rav Yehuda HaChassid, an early work before Chassidus, but in the Sefer Chassidim, Rav Yehuda HaChassid says that when a person has a chiddush in Torah, he's obligated to share it and to write it down. And he says that a person who suppresses his chiddushei Torah is like a Navi who suppresses his Nebuah. Amazing idea. A person who suppresses his chiddushei Torah, the Sefer Chassidim, Rav Yehuda HaChassid says, that a person who suppresses his chiddush in Torah is like a Navi who suppresses his Nevuah. And by the way, I don't want to scare anyone, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that a Navi who's Kovish Nevuaso, a Navi who suppresses his Nevuah is Chayav Misa. So I'm not saying that God forbid Hashem is going to kill anyone over it, but in a certain sense, you're killing yourself. You're not giving your Neshama its full expression. Your Neshama has something to say in the world. We all believe that Rav Shechter has something to say in the world. We believe Rav Chaim Kanievsky has something to say in the world. We believe the Stuchina Rebbe has something to say in the world, right? We believe that Rabbi Nachman, who's not alive, is still speaking in the world, so why don't we believe that we have something to say? That we have something to contribute to the unfolding revelation of Torah. So says Rabbi Nachman, pick an idea and just keep going at this idea. Lachshov, v'lachzor v'machshavto, oso a pasuk, oso inyan. Kam of a kam and pa'amim harbim ma'od. Bali Musar would review things just to drill ideas into their head. So there are stories of Yisrael Salanter and other tzaddikim who would walk, back and forth, pacing back and forth across the room, meditating, and repeating a Maimer Chazal over and over again. Right? Hakina va taiva va kavod motiyan asa adam in olam. Kirkayavos. Jealousy and desire and honor remove a person from the world. Hakina va taiva va kavod motiyan asa adam in olam. Hakina va taiva va kavod motiyan asa adam in olam. The word tzaddikim would just go back, walking back and forth. Some of these batei musar, the musar houses. People would go and they'd pick a Maimer Chazal and they'd spend 3 hours just saying it over and over and over until they believed it. Yes, being jealous ruins my life. Having taiva ruins my life. Pursuing honor ruins my life. That's different than just, you know, zipping through Pirkei Avos and saying, yeah, that's true. It's probably true. Another thing when you try to internalize the Maimer Chazal in the deepest way. So Rabbi Nachman says also, cling to this Maimer Chazal. Keep going over and over and over again until what? Until you're able to say, ah, I have something new to say. Now, you may not even know if you're saying something new, by the way. That's a funny thing about Chidushim, right? You say, I have a Chiddush. Oh, you know what everyone else has ever said about Torah, that you're calling this a new idea? Right? Did you even read Rashi? Maybe Rashi says the exact same thing. But it's still, it's been to it, having not seen in the Rashi, or some obscure Sefer where someone beat you to it 100 years ago, it's still your Chiddush. So says Rabbi Nachman, go over the idea again and again and again. V'lios nokesh v'dofek al ha-pesach ad sheyiftachu lo. Keep knocking on the door. Keep banging on that pasuk or on that Maimer Chazal until you're able to say, I understand it in a new way. Yesh davar sheporeach b'machshava k'mo zricha. Sometimes an idea sprouts in one's mind like a zricha. Yeah? Now, on the page in front of you, it says zrika. I looked in a few editions of Sichos Aran, right? Some say Zrika and some say Zricha. Okay, but I don't know if he's trying to use more of an image of like something sprouting, or he's using an image of something like a lightning flash, right? But either way, you have suddenly a breakthrough, right? Again, whether the image is like a seed under the ground where you keep watering it and watering it and watering it until finally. One day you come outside and you see that little thing, that little bit of green has broke through the surface. Or whether it's more like the lightning bolt, right? That flash of inspiration, whatever he exactly is describing here. But sometimes it sprouts, it grows, it flashes. V'achar kach poreach mehamachshava. Again, I looked in a bunch of different editions. They all say poreach. It could also be boreach. But afterwards, it runs away. Afterwards, you lose it. You thought you had it, right? Like when you have an idea and then, wait, I don't know how to say it over. I can't remember what I was thinking, but I feel like I had an idea. So says Rabbi Nachman, what are you supposed to do when you have that flash of clarity and then you lose it? Tzarech shiyeh lezeh briya v'ishchayil k'nizkar le'el lirdov v'larut acharei la'asiga. You need to be a man of valor, an ishchayal. You need to be brave, courageous, and you need to keep chasing after that idea. Don't let it go. Get it back. Nah, it's just like a little ha'ara, a little insight into a pasuk. It doesn't matter. It's important. Go chase after it, capture it, and bring it back. There's a sefer called Megid Givos Solom. It's not on the page in front of you. But in the sefer Megid Givos Solom, in the first volume, on page 12, Rav Michal Zalman Shurkin is the author. He was connected to a lot of great gedolim. So he says that Rav Moshe Feinstein used to tell people to acquire a notebook, buy yourself a notebook. It could be a little, it could be a big notebook, it could be a little notepad you carry in your pocket. And Rav Moshe told people, write down all of your little insights. Write down your ha'aros. If you have an insight, you should write it down. Right? And Rav Moshe told Rav Michal Zalman Shurkin, I guess when he was a young man, he said, you'll see. You're thinking like, well, I don't have so many insights. You'll see, says Rav Moshe. Start writing things down, you'll fill your notebook. You'll need a second notebook before you know it. Take your own chidushim seriously. Sometimes what seems like a small chidush is just the beginning of what will become a big chidush. But if you're not going to pursue your own ideas, if you're not going to believe in your own chelik and Torah, so what? You'll have these moments like, oh, that's a nice idea, and then it'll just run away from you. It'll flee. Says Rabbi Nachman, chase after. Keep knocking on the door to acquire that chidush. He writes in source number 2, in the Sichos Saran Reish Samach Vav, in case you think, well, I don't know that much Torah. Again, I'm not holding by creating my own insights into Torah. Says Rabbi Nachman, I'll tell you something. Sometimes knowing less allows you to think even more clearly. Because once you know so many Torah ideas, you feel that you have to like connect everything to everything. I once heard from the Stuchina Rebbe, he says, when a person says a chiddush, you don't have to connect everything to everything. So if you have a nice idea, but you're not sure how this other piece fits in, it's okay. It's not your job to be able to explain any one idea as it relates to everything else. You don't have to do that. So you're learning the Parsha this week, yeah? Parsha's Tetzaveh, reading the Parsha. And you have an insight. You say, yeah, but what we learned in Bava Kamma, right, the piece that we started yesterday from the Yamshel Shlomo, makes me question my insight into the Parsha. Rav Nachman says, you don't have to tie everything together. I heard from the Stuchina Rebbe, you don't have to tie everything together. Sometimes knowing too much will make it harder for you to just believe in a simple insight. Amar, he said, source number two, Sheyesh tzadikim shem gedolim b'torah. There are people who are tzadikim, who are great masters of Torah. Who bekiyim b'svarim harbe. And they know many svarim. Who bedrashos rabboseinu zichronim levracha. And they know many of the teachings of our sages. However, u'mechamas zeh, daika einim yacholim l'chadish b'torah. Machmas shehem bekiyim ma'od. But because of this, because they know so much, it becomes difficult for them to say their own insights. Because they feel like, well, I've seen everything written somewhere else. Right? Or I feel like I know too much and I have to always try to tie all the pieces together. Sometimes your bekiyas, your broad knowledge, can be stifling. I think about this sometimes. I'm trying to learn how to play piano a little bit better. So I think about this sometimes like in music. If you know too many songs, everything sounds like something else. It's very hard to like write your own song because, that sounds like a piece from this song, and that sounds like a piece from that song. But if you didn't know any of the songs, if you just learned how to play piano, right? Okay, so in a certain sense, you'd be limited in just like, you know, having a sense of how music should go or could go or has gone. Right, but in a certain sense, like anything you write is a true original composition. So says Rabbi Nachman, when a person knows a lot, sometimes that becomes a hindrance to his ability to say a chiddush. Ki kishemaschil lo mar Torah, because when the tzaddik who knows so much begins to say Torah, v'rotze l'chadish ezadav, right? He wants to just say a simple idea. He sometimes gets so caught up on connecting it to other ideas that he never like gets to his own idea. Mebalbel osam b'kiusam hagadola. Their great broad knowledge is mibalbel. It causes what? It makes things, you know, cluttered, confused. Umaschilim lomar miyad hakdamos harbe udvarm harbe mashayodim misvarm. So instead of saying the nice original idea that the tzaddik had, the tzaddik starts couching his idea with all sorts of hakdamos, all sorts of introductions. This sefer said like this, and this sefer said like that, and this sefer said like this, and this sefer said like that. And then like as an afterthought, oh, and by the way, and I said, and I want to just add like a little thing. Why do you need all the hakdamos, says Rabbi Nachman? You don't believe in your own idea. Say your idea. Don't make it all mibuba with all these hakdamos while I saw this sefer, that sefer. Say what you want to say. And then they're not able to just say a nice clean chiddush, a nice idea. Part of the idea of chidushim, let me like jump ahead for a second. What's the punchline here? What's the point? What's the point? Why are we so concerned about saying chidushim? Why is Rabbi Nachman so concerned that we should say chidushim? What do you think? Why do I need to say novel insights into Torah? There's so much good Torah out there. I have to make up my own ideas. There's such beautiful Torah that I could spend my whole life learning, and I wouldn't even scratch the surface. So what are we so busy with new ideas? Yeah?
Maybe Rabbi Nachman wants us to feel as if we're contributing.
Okay. Right, so when you make a contribution to something, as opposed to just being on the receiving end, it connects you more deeply to it. True. Part of the idea is that the Torah, again, is a Torah Schaim. And as much as you read a story of Avram, and that took place in a certain historical time period, right? But Avram is an ongoing story. And Noach and the flood is an ongoing story. And Kabbalah HaTorah is an ongoing story. And the mitzvahs of the Torah, even the ones that seem to have been responding to an ancient world, are actually applicable today. So part of it is also understanding that Torah is alive and well. But more than that, Right? There's new insights that come down in each generation. Part of bringing Mashiach is moving towards the Torah of Mashiach. We've spoken about this in the past. When we learned, if anyone wants to check it out online, we learned Sichos Aran Os Hei a long time ago. So we had a shiur on the progression of Torah. How each generation has a new way of understanding Torah. Of course, that could be perverted and corrupted and turned into a Judaism that's, you know, doesn't look like authentic Torah Orthodox Judaism. But it could also be just new ideas lefi that generation in accordance with that door. The Chiddush Arim says on the pasuk at the end of the Torah, Zechor Yemos Olam, Bino Shnos Dor Vador. Zechor Yemos Olam. Yes, you need to know Yemos Olam. You need to know history. You need to know the Torah of the past. But also, Bino Shnos Dor Vador means what? Understand deeply Shnos Dor Vador, the changes that take place from one door to the next. Tzadok writes in many places, every year there's a new chiddush in Torah. Torah has to be learned in accordance with each year. Tav Shinayin Tes is a different Torah than Tav Shinayin Ches. It's the exact same letters, God forbid to change one letter. But it's understood in an entirely new way. And therefore, part of bringing Mashiach is giving birth, for lack of a better word, and I'll explain why I'm using that word, to give birth to these ideas, to give birth to new Torah ideas. Why do I say give birth? The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Mashiach is not going to come until all the neshamos that are meant to come to this world, come to this world. First mitzvah of the Torah is, pru'ervu, have children. And some people have very large Jewish families. Why? Because the Gemara says, because until all the Jewish neshamos, until all the Jewish children who need to be born are born, that's why it's important to try to bring children into this world with Hashem's help. Until Jewish children come into this world, until all the neshamos come pass through, right? We can't have the geula. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. When a person says a chiddush in Torah, it's like giving birth. It's like giving birth. You're giving birth to an idea. You're giving birth to a new Torah idea. Torah says, I think it's, where is it? In Parshas Ekev? That Hashem gives us a bracha. Lo yeh b'cha akar v'akara. Right? Uvivem techa. That you shouldn't have akar and akara. What's an akar and akara? Barren. A person shouldn't be barren. Akar is a male and akara is a female. It shouldn't be barren. Right? People should be blessed with children. So the Baal Turim on that pasuk says, I think, akar v'akara is gematria b'divrei Torah. Shouldn't be barren from b'divrei Torah. You should have kids. You should have children. What does it mean you should have children? You should give birth to divrei Torah. What does it mean to give birth to divrei Torah? But it's exactly this idea. A person has to try to bring new Torah ideas into the world. And the same way, I'm just looking up the Baal Turim. Yeah, akar va'akara is gematria bidivrei Torah. You shouldn't be barren bidivrei Torah. It's in Parshas Ekev. Lo yeah, akar va'akara uvivhem techa. There'll be no barren individuals, not in humans or animals. Baal Turim says, akar va'akara is gematria bidivrei Torah. Because, yeah, bidivrei Torah. Don't be barren in divrei Torah. Give birth to Torah. The same way the Mashiach can't come until all the neshamas come to this world. So until you express your neshama through your chelik in Torah, we can't advance to, again, what's referred to as Torah HaMashiach. So when we say a chiddush in Torah, we're giving birth to new ideas. That's why Rabbi Nachman's so interested in this idea. So sometimes we get too mebulbal, he says. We get caught up in what? In the ideas of the past. And we're not able to say a nice chiddush. And Rabbi Nachman, when he told us this, he gave an example of someone in his generation who just can't say Torah because of this. Someone who, I guess, Rabbi Nachman felt should be able to give over beautiful divrei Torah and is paralyzed by his knowledge. He knows too much that he can't say a nice, clean, new idea. He gets held up by everything that he knows. V'amuvan midvarav hayuk. Ki kesherotzin lechadish chidushin. Back in source number 2, tzrichin letzamsem esmocho libli larutz miyad lebalbel daito beribu hakdamo she'inu mochrachim lechidushav. Says Rabbi Nachman, when a person wants to say Torah, you need to try to what? Letzamsem esmocho. What does letzamsem esmocho mean?
Contract your mind.
To contract your mind, constrict your mind. Don't try to tie it into everything that ever was. Just say a nice idea. Right? And you don't need to say it in the context of what? Ribui hakdamos, introductions and more introductions and set the whole thing up. Just say your idea. You have a right to say chidushim, says Rabbi Nachman. V'yasa atzmo ke'eni yodeya v'az yachal lahoti la'or l'chadesh chidushim harbei v'hadraga keseda. And if you're willing to, again, not get lost too much in other people's Torah, then you'll be able to very beautifully, naturally, always have things to say. And that's what Rabbi Moshe Feinstein told Rabbi Michal Shurkin. Take a notebook and just start writing things down. You'll see you have a lot to say. Not just, you know, reading someone else's Dvar Torah to share at the Shabbos table. It's an amazing thing to challenge yourself to say a Chiddush in Torah. It's such an enjoyable experience. And you probably don't think you can do it. Take a chumash. Sometime this afternoon, night seder, whatever. Take a chumash and just read the parsha in English if you want, and say an insight, say a novel idea. It's easier than you think to do it, and it feels amazing. We're so busy reading someone else's Dvar Torah on the parsha. Say your own Dvar Torah on the parsha. It's an amazing feeling, right? And it is like Michal said that when a person is, you know, making a donation to Torah, invested in Torah, adds his portion to Torah, he feels much more deeply connected to Torah than just collecting everyone else's Dvar Torah. Rabbi Nachman said a lot more, but I can't write it all out here, says Rabbi Nassan. So you'll get the idea. If you're smart enough, you'll get the idea. Okay? I'm holding you off for a little bit. Sichos Haran Reish Samach Zayin. Take a look at source number 3. This is remarkable. Omar, Misha Rotza Lachadish B'Torah, Mutterlo Lachadish V'Lidrosh Kol Masha Yirtza. When a person is saying an idea, sometimes people say, I don't know if it's an emistic idea. Rabbi Nachman says, don't say that. Stop saying that. First of all, it's annoying to say when you say that. And second of all, right, you don't have to say that. It's emistic enough. If you're saying a halachic psak and you don't know what you're talking about, then Rabbi Nachman says you should learn to keep quiet. But if you're saying a drasha, Rabbi Nachman gives us a blank check here. Rabbi Nachman says, go for it. You want to be machadish v'lidrosh kol mashiyirtza. Kol mashiyizke lachadish b'sichlo. Any idea that enters your mind, there's a kernel of truth to it. As long as you don't start making new dinim, new laws. As long as you're not creating new halachos based on your drasha. That we can't do. But if you want to say an idea, even if you're expounding something, someone will say to you, you're not an expert in that idea. What right do you have to an opinion in that idea? There were tzaddikim who held back because they felt they didn't have expertise in certain things. For example, in the biography of the Chazon Ish, someone asked the Chazon Ish why he didn't write a commentary on Tanakh, and he said, because I don't know it well enough. I'm scared it's not going to be emistic. Rabbi Nachman says, stop worrying, it's going to be emistic. You know plenty. Okay, the Chazon Ish dedicated himself to writing chidushim in the entirety of Shas and Halacha. Right? He had complete mastery over you know, Shas and Poskim. And more in Lamdis than in Halacha, but Halacha also. Again, from the beginning of Zrayim to the end of Taras. No stone unturned. He knew it all. So the Chazon Ish couldn't say something in Tanakh. Right? We have a little bit from him, but he didn't. Someone said, write a commentary on the Chumash. No, I don't feel comfortable writing a commentary on the Chumash. That's not my, I don't know if it's emistic enough. So Rabbi Nachman says, don't worry about it. As long as it's not a halacha, you have a right to say. V'hamuvan midvarav haya, sha'afilu bekavanas ha'arizah k'vano levracha. Even if you want to say, a Kabbalistic chiddush, v'darche ha'kabbalah, mutter l'chadish behem, kesher yasig sichla. You're reading svarim, you probably shouldn't even be reading, Rabbi Nachman says. You have an insight. You're allowed to say it. Again, not everything that you say has to be published. Right? Rabbi Nachman is not encouraging us to publish every idea that crosses your mind. But you have a right. You have a right to believe in that idea. Ubevad shelo yotzi mehem shum din chas v'shalom. As long as you don't what? As long as you don't use that as a way of, God forbid, manipulating halacha. Say whatever you want, he says. Just don't change don't change the halacha from the Shulchan Aruch, even the slightest bit. Okay? All right, let's take a couple comments. Yes? Right, that's right. Hashem's biggest chiddush also took a constriction of his light. Very good, nice idea. It's good chiddush. Write it down. Okay, good.
And then actually, I was appropriate the second one. Is that like in
CS,
most of us
aren't
like shy, except for you.
Aren't
shy
to
like publishing the safer. So it's like once we like do write them down, like margins of our
safer. What do you do with it? You'll see. See where it goes. Who knows? I look back at things I wrote down, and sometimes I say, wow, that is such a stupid thing. And sometimes I look at it and I say, like, that was actually a really nice idea. Again, I'm not running to publish anything, and the publishing is a whole different question. But that I should believe in my Torah ideas, and I should believe that I have a chelek and a voice in Torah, and I should feel confident at a Shabbos meal, you know? Someone said, I have a Dvar Torah. I'll say my own Dvar Torah. Oh, look at this guy. He says his own Dvar Torah. Yeah. Say your own Dvar Torah. Say something that you thought of. It could be the slightest insight. I read a Rashi this week, and I have a slight insight I'd like to add.
So, Madriga is just like...
Yeah.
Which
is sufficient to put in the market. I think so. It's a good starting point to say at least my ideas matter. To believe that your ideas matter. There was a Rav who was walking with one of his friends one time, and this Rav's daughter... His young daughter, a friend and a student of his. So they're walking down the road, and all of a sudden, his little daughter, who's in a silly mood, she picks up a leaf off the ground, and she hands it to her father, this rabbi, and she says, "Daddy, eat this leaf." I told you this story before? So he takes the leaf and he puts it in his mouth. So this other Rav, his friend / Talmud, says to him, "What was that?" So he says, how many times in life is my daughter going to be told that her ideas don't matter? Right? How many times will in the course of, you know, suggesting ideas, will people shoot down her ideas? Right? Or she'll feel like she doesn't have a voice in the conversation. Or she'll apply for a job and get rejected. Right? Like, there's a lot of rejection we encounter in life. So he said, I want my daughter to know that if she says something, there's someone, her own father, who takes her very seriously. I don't care how crazy the idea is, how irrational the idea is. Daddy, eat this leaf? Sure, sweetie, it's a great idea. Put the leaf in his mouth. He started chewing on the leaf. So Hashem's saying that to us. Hashem says, I want you to say. It might be a stupid idea. You sound like a child. Okay. But when a child says something, a parent says, that's very cute, that's very sweet. It may be very childish. But there's a sweetness to it that the parent acknowledges and embraces, and the parents, you know, hangs up that child's scribble scrabble, as one of our older daughters likes to call one of our younger daughters' paintings, scribble scrabble, right? For the parents, it's not scribble scrabble. It's like a, you know, it's like an original Picasso. I don't know. We hang it with pride. Yes.
But it sort of comes off that way.
Yeah, he's saying there is a danger of discovering your own chelek in Torah, your own voice in Torah, if you're trapped in other people's ideas. Of course, the goal is to know a lot of Torah, and then to be able to mitzamtzem b'smocho, contract your mind, and to be able to kind of enter your own space, your own voice. Right? That's the goal. That's the real goal. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
And he bring in, I don't know which one was the Bible, but like grabbed the mouth of the Romans, and they said, hey, let's bring a sacrifice and one of either Bar Kamsa or Kamsa, apostle the
Korban.
Some Jewish people were like debating whether or not we should be taking the Korban,
right?
Except the Romans, or we shouldn't, but
right?
High risk. So one of the people, one of the top rabbin, he knew, which is the mark, he knew what the answer was, that we should just take it in because we risk the wrath of the Romans. But he didn't say...
Right, the Gemara, right, the Anivus.
The Anivus of the Jewish the, people is what caused
that. Because his name was Zechariah, yeah.
So it's because he didn't speak up and he didn't share his opinion.
That's right. His hesitation to voice his opinion caused the Chorban. His Anivus was a false humility of that Rav caused the Chorban. Yeah. Yep. Okay, let's learn a little Likutei Moharan. So those are three pieces from Sichos Haran. Okay, now let's learn a little Likutei Moharan. We're going to give Rabbi Nachman a chance to talk a lot today, but then hopefully we'll be inspired to find our own voices. Says the Likutei Moharan in source number 4. Afilu Adam Pashut. You could be a simple Jew. Im Yeshiv Atma al Sefer. If he sits by a book, by a Jewish book, V'yistakel al Osios HaTorah, and he stares at the letters. Yistakel means to stare, not just to read. He stares at the letters. Yachol liros chadashos v'niflos. He'll start to see wondrous things. Believe that you have the ability to just read a simple pasuk and just looking at the letters, and all of a sudden you'll start to understand things. Haynu shal yidei yistakluso heitev heitev al osios haTorah. By staring very well at the letters of the Torah, by trying to, you know, attach yourself deeply to a pasuk, to a maimer chazal, whatever it may be, yaschilu haosios lahair ulitstaref bebechinas osios boltos umitstarfos kmosha amu rabosenu zechronu levracha. What's he talking about? He's talking about this week's parsha. Talking about the parshas that we're reading, the Big Day Kahuna. We know that the Kohen Gadol had the ability to ask the Urim v'Tumim, that the stones of the Choshen would light up, revealing to him a message. An amazing ability to ask questions of the breastplate and to have the answer given to him. Right? And the stones would light up. The stones would be illuminated. So that's what he says here. When you stare at the Torah, yeah, the letters start to light up for you also. They start to reveal answers to your questions. Amazing connection to this week's Parsha. Right, osios boltos, that means letters that are bulging, that are emerging. Right? Certain letters stood out, present themselves. Umitstarfos, and they start to combine, to make new interpretations, new understandings, revelations, as the Gemara explains in Maseches Yom, again, but in reference to the Urim V'Tumim and the Choshen. V'azai yireh niflos seirufim chadashim. You'll start to see the wonder of these new ideas. And you'll understand things in the Rambam that the Rambam himself didn't understand. Everything that Rav Chaim Brisker ever said in the Rambam. Right? He's speaking on behalf of the Rambam in a way that the Rambam himself may not have understood. But the Rambam was writing with a certain degree of Ruach HaKodesh, as the Tzaddikim tell us. And the Rambam is Torah, and Torah is meant to be expounded. So you could sometimes read someone safer and understand it in a way that the author himself didn't understand it. It's an amazing thing. That's part of your continual contribution to the Torah. V'zeh efshar afilu adam pashut. And again, this is even for regular Jews. Ki adam gadol yachol liyozos b'liyagia. A person who's a great Talmud Chacham, he opens a chumash and immediately the chidushim start flowing. For a simple person, you gotta sometimes just believe that there's something even I can find here that's new. Rakafilu adam pashut legamri, even a very simple person, yochol lahasig v'liros chadashos im yeshiv atzmo v'yistakel osios haTorah. He too can find something if he stares and he sits by the Torah and he stares at the letters until something is revealed to him, until something emerges. That's why people are what sometimes quick to when the v'zos haTorah by Hagba. People come up close to see the letters of the Torah. What's that about? It's a deep idea. It's a Kabbalistic idea. But the idea is that a person who stares at the letters of the Torah, it enlightens one's eyes.
So your name.
Sometimes find the letter of your name or find your name. Yeah. Okay? So again, this is something that is shayach in a certain way for every person. Okay? Let's turn the page. Let's move ahead a little bit. Let's jump to source number 7. Okay? For the sake of time, I want to make sure we have a chance to make it to the end. So we'll skip the next couple of pieces in the Likutei Moharan, amazing pieces. Just look at the last line in source number 6 where it's bolded. Also, a Torah from Likutei Maran, Kuf Yud Ches, where Rabbi Nachman talks about how every time a person learns, you connect to Moshe Rabbeinu, and how Moshe Rabbeinu is connected to Mashiach, and therefore every time you say a Chiddush in Torah, and again it goes back to the idea I was trying to tell you before, part of bringing Mashiach is bringing down all of the Chiddushim that need to come down to this world. So just the last line in source number 6, where it's bolded, Ki Chiddushei HaTorah Shemachadesh Heim Ba'atzvam B'Bechinas Mashiach. A Chiddush in Torah itself is the concept of Mashiach. Again, he explains more deeply what that means, but that's why it's so important to say Chiddushim, to make sure that Torah stays forever fresh and is moving in the direction of Mashiach. And again, he talks about the relationship between Mashiach and what? Between Mashiach and Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, every time we learn, we connect to Moshe, and by extension, we connect to Mashiach. Moshe is the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. He's the Goel Rishon. But the Svarim say he's also what? Called the Goel Acharon. He's the Goel Acharon. He's the final Redeemer. As we learned a couple years ago in the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that Mashiach gets, in this week's Parsha actually, that Mashiach can't come until what? Until Moshe is ready to redeem us, because Moshe is connected to Mashiach, and Moshe is all about Torah. So if we're not serious about Torah, Mashiach can't come. So that's why Rabbi Nachman says, you got to have a chidushim. Got to believe that you will have a contribution to make the Torah. Yes. It's a grah. When we go and talk about that. Yeah. Nani would like you to open the window, please. Nachon? Okay. See? That's my chiddush. You can read Nani's mind. Okay, says the Chazon Ish. What is a chiddush? Chaver, what is a chiddush? So part of the reason we think we can't say chiddushim is because we think a chiddush has to be like, wow, this earth-shattering revelation of Torah. Again, we read other people's chiddushim, and sometimes they really are. They're life-changing. Mamish chiddushim. But what is a chiddush? What's the definition of a chiddush? A chiddush is just being able to understand something a little better today than you understood it yesterday. That's a chiddush. That's also called a chiddush. The Chazon Ish, in a letter, in the first volume of his collected letters, says, he quotes from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the student of the Vilna Gaon, says the end of the first line, Aval inyan achidushim, Piresh Hagon Rav Chaim Mivolozhin. You see it? Hagrach Mivolozhin. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, as we call him. Zatzal. Behayos She'ein Omek Torah Shebalpeh Mizgala. El Achrei Rav Hashkedav Ha'amel. Since understanding Gemara is really hard, Torah Shebalpeh is hard. It takes a lot of work to understand on a simple level, the sixth parak of Bava Kama, let alone to really know it. Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Rishonim, Achronim, Halacha. Torah is so hard. It's such a heavy work. So to understand anything in Torah Shebaal Peh, it's only after a lot of hard work do you even begin to understand the basic flow of the Gemara, the Shakla Vitaria, the give and take of the Gemara. So you know what Rav Chaim Volozhiner said? So that means if you can understand a little bit of the Gemara, that's a Chiddush. And now you add Rashi, it's a chiddush. You say, well, it's not my chiddush, it's Rashi's chiddush. No, it's your chiddush also. Kol ha-misgale mikrei chiddush, he says. See where it's underlined? Anything that is revealed today that you didn't know before is called a chiddush. V'chol ha-mosif b'kinyonim sha-torah niknes behem, mosif yediya yod hayu be'ilam v'hester. The more you work to acquire the character traits of one who studied, the more you're able to uncover that which was hester, that which was hidden, that which was concealed. Before you worked hard and that you didn't understand it at all. Now you understand a little bit more about the sugya. That's called a chiddush. It doesn't have to be something that's entirely new. Anytime you have a deepening of an understanding of an idea, it could be the most simple deepening of that idea, but that's a gilui, that's a revelation. Your neshama now understands hakonis son ladir. You understand, right? Before the semester began, maybe you never heard of Shmira Pachusa. Never heard of Shmira Karaoi. Right? Never heard that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar about a Shura Amuad and Daf Memhei and what to do with it. And what's considered guarding it sufficiently. Okay, now you did. That's called a chiddush. That's a form of chiddush. Because you were megale something to yourself. It could also be not only a chiddush in an idea, it could be a chiddush in the way that a person acts. Maybe you have a new way to serve Hashem. Says the Yesod V'Shor Shavod in source number 8. Ashrei Adam, in the Shahar Elyon Perek Yud Beis. Ashrei Adam owes love to Hashia Misgala. Praiseworthy is the person who has the strength. And he reveals that strength. What does that mean? Chidushe Oraisa Aliba de Emes. When he reveals true Torah insights. V'ashrei Misha Amlo B'Torah. Praiseworthy is one who works hard in Torah. U'miyages Atzma, Yages Atzma L'chadish Eizah Dover Chidush B'Torah Akadosha L'fiya Emes. And he works hard to uncover a new insight in Torah. Shebechidish ze borei shamayim chadashim ve'eretz chadasha. You change the heavens and you change the earth when a person experiences a chiddush. He continues in the next paragraph. Ubevadai HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino ba b'trunya imbriyosav l'chadish dafka chiddush nifla ma'od. Please underline that line. Ubevadai, certainly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino ba b'trunya. What does that mean, b'trunya? Anyone know that word? Hashem doesn't come with what? With accusations or complaints. Hashem doesn't say, "Nu, why didn't you say a chiddush like Rav Chaim Brisker? Why didn't you say a whole shtickel Torah like Rabbi Nachman? Where's your Lakutei Moharan?" Hashem's not going to say that to you. Hashem has no complaints against people. That what? L'chadesh dafka chiddush nifla ma'od. To specifically say a wondrous chiddush, an amazing chiddush. Hashem doesn't expect that of you. If you expect that of yourself, you're not gonna try to find chidushim in Torah. You're gonna say, "I'm not on a level to say big chidushim." So don't say big chidushim. Say very small chidushim. Ela lefi sichlo yehulal ish. Each person according to his seichel, yehulal shall be praised. Every man according to his ability. Do what you can. Ish el masa sichlo veruach mevinaso yitov. Each person in his own way. Hein levar as a dina b'gemara to clarify a law in the Gemara lefia MSLP perish tosos and mafarshim. That's called the chiddush. You understanding tosos a little bit better and explaining it to your chavrusa is called the chiddush. O lechadish perish amiti b'pasuk shel Torah nevi m'ksuvim, or to say a true insight into Torah nevi m'ksuvim. Gam nira li barur im choshev ha'adam eiza shah b'yom Shabbos Kodesh l'chadish b'sichlo eiza hanhaga tova ba'avodas yotzreinu u'boreinu yisbarach shemo v'yisale. If you spend some time on a Shabbos afternoon thinking to yourself, he says, how can I serve Hashem better? She is nahig ba'anhaga yishar azu kol yimei ashua. What can I do different this week? You know what? This week I'm going to work on saying Asher Yotzer more slowly after I go to the bathroom. That's a chiddush. That's a chiddush. Last week you didn't concentrate on that. So Hashem says, wow, that's a chiddush. You just changed heaven and earth with that chiddush. A chiddush of an idea, a chiddush of a hanhaga, of an avoda, of something that you can do. These are all called chidushim. And again, he goes on to talk, quotes several passages in the Zohar, how excited Hashem is when a person is able to what? To have a chiddush. I'll tell you a cute story that my brother told me. And my brother added his own chiddush to it. My brother, Reb Davidel, for those who know him. So he said he heard a story from Rav Yisrael Reisman. Rav Reisman, when he, from Brooklyn. Rav Reisman, when he first started learning Gemara, he said he was learning Maseches Brachos. And he was learning Daf Nun Aleph. And the Gemara tells a story there about a woman who in a fit of rage got so angry that she broke 400 barrels of chamra. 400 barrels of chamra. So Reisman said, he's just learning Gemara for the first time. And he reads this Gemara. There's a woman, she got all upset. Right? Ula didn't give Rav Nachman's wife something. And she went into a fit and she broke 400 barrels of chamra. So Reisman's thinking, 400 barrels of donkeys? What are 400, what does that mean, 400 barrels of donkeys? Chamra, chamor, right? A donkey. What are 400 barrels of donkeys? He couldn't understand. Until he realized that in Gemara language, chamra means wine. So Yisrael Reisman once said in this year, that was the first chiddush he ever had. When he realized that chamra didn't mean 400 barrels of donkeys, but it meant 400 barrels of wine, he said, that was the first time I ever had a chiddush in Torah. So you can laugh, you'll say, that's a chiddush? you translated the word wrong and then you translated it right, you're calling that a chiddush? And the answer is yes. It's an important story. That is a chiddush. Because you didn't understand something, and now you do understand something. That's called a chiddush. That's a chiddush. You've revealed, he explained to his chavrusa, chamra means why, not donkeys. That's a chiddush. So here's the chiddush that my brother added to that. My brother, Rav Davidel, said, maybe you can understand that cute story in light of a comment from Rav Elchanan Wasserman. B'shem the Chafetz Chaim. What did Rav Elchanan Wasserman say in the name of the Chafetz Chaim? Harris, will tell me if you've heard this from him before. In source number 10, Rav Elchanan Wasserman in the Kovetz Ma'amarim, the student of the Chafetz Chaim, said, he said, Kol HaTorah, all of the Torah, the Chafetz Chaim said, all of the Torah that the Vilna Gaon knew, Sheyada Gaon miVilna, Yachad im Kol HaTorah, Sheyada HaRambam, combined with all of the Torah that Maimonides knew, combined with all of the Torah of Ravina and Rav Ashi, who organized the Gemara, combined with all of the Torah of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, which is not Rabbi Nachman, but Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who organized the Mishnah, combined with the wisdom of Hillel and Shammai, combined with all of the prophets, combined with Yoshua, combined with Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, says the Chafetz Chaim, take everyone who ever learned Torah, ever, and all of their understanding, and all of their chidushim, and all of and everything that Torah meant to all of them combined. Kol zeh yachad, he says in the third line, kol zeh yachad hu kol kach ma'at ba'shva l'masha Torah kol alis b'socha. You add it all up, and it's literally a drop. It's a tiny bit. It's ma'at. It's the tiniest bit compared to what the Torah in its entirety is. The Torah is so endless. The Torah is so deep. And the Torah is so wide. It's Rechava Mina Yam, says the Pasuk. It's more expansive than the ocean. So you take everyone who ever learned Torah, and you put all of their wisdom together, it's literally the tiniest drop compared to the ocean of Torah. Unbelievable. To such a degree, says the Chafetz Chaim, that what do we say about Torah? What did David HaMelech say about Torah? Toras Hashem Tamima. You know what that means? Great Vart from the Chafetz Chaim. What does it mean, Toras Hashem Tamima? Hashem's Torah is perfect. Hashem's Torah is complete. So usually we say, yeah, Hashem's system of living is an all-encompassing system. No, but what does the Chafetz Chaim say? What does it mean Hashem's Torah is complete? What's he saying? We haven't even scratched the surface. It's complete as if we haven't even started learning it. We literally have not. You take all the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua and the prophets and Hillel and Shammai and Rav Yehuda Hanasi and Rav Yehuda Rav Ashi and the Rambam and the Vilna Gaon and the Chafetz Chaim. We haven't even touched the Torah. It's mamish whole. We haven't even opened the box yet. Ah, I have a chiddush. I just had a chiddush. I'll tell you my chiddush in a second. So says the Chafetz Chaim, Torah Hashem Tamima, the Torah is perfect, the Torah is untouched. The Torah is untouched. Yeah? No matter how much we learn, there's an infinite amount more to learn. So my brother said, so is Rabbi Reisman's chiddush a joke? Is Rabbi Reisman's chiddush of realizing that chamra means wine, not donkeys, less of a chiddush compared to the endless ocean of Torah as the greatest questioner Rabbi Akiva Eger ever asked? Compared to infinity, we think a chiddush means like a big chiddush. A big chiddush is still nothing compared to the infinity of Torah. Right? Again, if I look at my little understanding of Gemara compared to a great Gaon and Tzaddik and Talmud Chacham, so I feel like what I learn is not called a chiddush. But compared to the ocean of Torah, compared to what's out there, right, there's really not such a big gap compared to infinity between myself and Rabbi Akiva Eger. So just like I know Rabbi Akiva Eger's chiddusha matter, my chiddusha matter. So here's the chiddush I want to add. The Rambam writes, the Rambam says that Torah is for everyone. Yeah? And the tragedy is that sometimes we're not osek in the Torah. We're not in the Torah. It's not only for Shevet Levi, it's for everyone, right? And the Rambam uses the expression that the Torah is munach b'keren zavis. The Rambam says the Torah is kind of sitting in the corner. And kol mi sheyirtza yavo v'yitol. Yeah? The Torah is just sitting there, and anyone who wants should come and take it. Right? Had it more clear before. I got to pursue it now. Back to Sichas Ran, the first piece. I can still say it, but I can't say it as well as I wanted to say it a minute ago. So I think you could say that, meaning, how is the Rambam encouraging a person to get started learning Torah? Yeah? How does the Rambam encourage a person who's not proficient in Torah? Again, if a person is a very distinguished Torah person, so okay. The Rambam tells you, go learn Torah. He has what to contribute. Where does a regular person contribute? Where does he get the courage to contribute? So the Rambam says, that's how I want to say it. The Rambam says, where's the Torah? Where's the Torah? So you'll say, what do you mean? The Torah's in the minds and the hearts of the Talmid Chacham. Says the Rambam, nope, the Torah's still sitting in the corner. Kol Misha Yirtza Yavo Vito. Anyone who wants can come and take it. Why is Rambam describing the Torah sitting in the corner? There's so many people who've taken the Torah already. But like the Chavetz Chaim said, no, they haven't. The Torah is still unmoved. It's untouched. It's ki'ilu, we didn't even pick it up yet. And that gives chizik to the person who feels like, well, who am I to learn Torah? Right? There's much greater people who already have the Torah. So the Rambam says, no one has the Torah. It's just sitting in the corner. Torah is Hashem Tamima. It's complete. The box is not even opened yet. No one's even taken anything out of the box. You take all the Torah that's been learned in history and combine it. This Torah is still untouched. Which is a way of encouraging you, as a beginner, to say you also can contribute. Because you can combine all the contributions of world history and it still adds up to nothing. Again, he's not trying to make us depressed. Right? But relative to the infinity of Torah, it's nothing. Okay, so can you contribute your little nothing chelek also? Why not? The Torah's in the corner. It's for anyone who wants. Right? Because even the greatest who've taken it haven't even taken it yet. And that should give chizik to the person that you have a right to take it also. So that's what my brother added to the Surah through Reisman. Reisman's chiddush was not a joke. When he said, chamra means wine, not donkeys, that was as chashuv, as important, compared to the infinity of Torah, as any other great chiddush in history. Beautiful, beautiful way to look at it. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Shivim panim latara. That's true. Why 70? I don't know. 70 is gematria yayin. 70 languages. Shivim panim latara. Yeah, maybe Torah could be understood no matter what your language is. That was one of the pieces we skipped over in Likutei Maran. That you should learn Torah and explain it, expound it in a way that's comfortable to you, is natural to you. And that's also made part of the naturalness of Torah. It's a good chiddush. Reb Vic, good chiddush. That's a good chiddush. Shivim panim l'Torah means, right, that no matter what your language is, you should feel that you're not an outsider to Torah. It's a beautiful idea. Okay, Chavar, it's getting late. Let's just wrap up. Reb Chaim of Elazhin in the Nefesh HaChaim in Source 11. Just such beautiful words. Just three lines, and then I'll say one last point. Reb Chaim of Elazhin in Source number 11 says, when a person has chidushin amitim d'oraisa, hamischad shna yideha adam, ein aroch legodel noros niflos in yanam pulasum lamala. You have to realize, your chidushim are shaking the heavens. You might think you barely explain something to your chavrusa, but in Shemayim, what we wouldn't even call a chiddush, and certainly not a great insight, ein aroch legodel noros niflos in yanam pulasum lamala. You can't even begin to measure. You can't even begin, Aroch, to estimate the greatness of the impact that it has, Lamala, in the world above. Shekol mila umila pratis, every single individual word. Hamischadeshes mipi ha'adam, that is created, that is renewed through the mouth of a human being. Kudshabrichu, look what Hashem does. You're explaining a little bit of a Rashi to your Chavrusa. Hashem grabs onto your words, Noshikla, he kisses them. He kisses your words. Uma'aterla. And he's adorned by those words. He crowns himself in those words. V'nivna mimena olam chadash v'fnei atzma. And he builds a world. Spiritual worlds are being created. V'hein hein ha-shamayim ha-chadashim v'aretz ha-chadasha sh'amar ha-kasuf. And that is what the Navi describes, the new heavens and the new earth, which are being created again through our efforts in Torah. I want to end with one final point. And again, it's the same theme, but it's a nice presentation of an idea. There's a sefer called Teferis Yaakov. Feres Yaakov is a sefer on, he has many volumes, but one of the volumes is a sefer on Meseches Gittin. So his name was Rav Yaakov Gesundheit. That was his real name. So in the Tiferes Yaakov, in his Hakdama to Meseches Gittin, he has just one beautiful insight I want to end with. Okay. In Parshas Kisavo, at the end of Kisavo, Moshe Rabbeinu says that Hashem has not given you eyes to see and ears to hear ad hayom hazeh. And Rashi explains, what does it mean that until this day, right, you didn't really have a connection to Hashem? Explains Rashi in Source 13. Ad hayom hazeh. Shamati, Rashi says, I've heard. Interesting lashon for Rashi. She'oso hayom she'nasan Moshe sefer Torah libnei Levi. That at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, he entrusted Shevet Levi, which is the Shevet most responsible for Torah. He gave Shevet Levi the Sefer Torah. As the Pasuk says, V'yitna el kohanim b'nei Levi. So you know what the rest of Klal Yisrael did? What did the rest of Klal Yisrael do? They said, okay, yeah, the rabbis will keep the Torah for the rest of us. No. Klal Yisrael came and complained. Ba'u kol Yisrael lifnei Moshe. Says Rashi, all of Klal Yisrael came to Moshe. V'amru lo Moshe Rabbeinu. Af anu amadnu b'sinai v'kibalnu as a Torah v'nitna lanu. We were also at our Sinai. Why are you entrusting the Torah to Shevet Levi? We also want the Torah. Why are you giving it to Levi? So Moshe was so happy to see, wow, it's so amazing to see that the Jews want the Torah. The last two lines, v'samach Moshe al adavar. Moshe was so happy. V'alzos amar lahem hayom hazeh niyes la'am. Moshe says to them, ah, today you've really become Hashem's people. Today you really bought in. You fought for Torah. You felt that I have a right to Torah. Not just Shevet Levi, not just the greatest scholars. I have a personal right to Torah. He explains the Tiferes Yaakov in Source 14. I know it's a little bit hard to read, but let's end with this. He says, why would you think that the Torah belongs to Shevet Levi? Okay, end of the first line. V'yesh lahafli b'maymer hazeh. Quotes our Rashi that we just read. Ma makum yesh l'tainas b'nei Yisrael l'chush she'yomru lehem ha'kohanim lo lachem nitna. Right? Rashi says that the Jews were scared that in the future, Shevet Levi is going to say what? Going to say, well, the Torah was only given to us. Why would we think that? We were all at Har Sinai. Shevet Levi knows that. Would Shevet Levi really try to usurp the Torah and claim ki'ilu they're the only ones who have a right to Torah? That Klal Yisrael panicked. Moshe, no, give us Sifrei Torah also, so Shevet Levi can't make a false claim later in the future that they were the only ones at Har Sinai. We were also at Har Sinai. Give us a Sefer Torah as reassurance. Was Shevet Levi, were the Kohanim really going to betray the rest of Klal Yisrael in this way? And all the more so, read the Torah. Who does it say it's given to? Sharei b'chol ha-mitzvos kulan, mefurash b'torah, daber el b'nei Yisrael. The Torah is clearly given to Klal Yisrael. So how could Shevet Levi later make a claim? No, we're the keepers of the Torah. How could such a thing be? The answer is again, Kohanim, Shevet Levi, the Talmidei Chachamim. Yes, they do play a certain primary role when it comes to the transmission of Torah. Yes, there are areas of Torah, like Rabbi Nachman said, which are not for you. You're not a posek. You shouldn't be writing in the YU commentator about the decisions that rabbis are making on campus. That's not your place. It's not your place. You're not a posik. It's not your place to rule on matters of halacha. Right? You want to say a nice vart on the parsha? You want to say a nice drush on a gemara? Go for it. But there's a danger of what? Of the Kohanim being thought of as the only ones who have a right to stay in Torah. And that's what the B'nai Yisrael were worried about. Right? Because the Levi is the Shevet that's responsible for the transmission of Torah in a certain way, you might think that it's exclusively theirs. So therefore, Klal Yisrael put up a fight and they said, no, we also have a right to what? To be Mechadish in Torah. We also have Torah. Again, we're not poskim. We're not eligible on matters of halacha. Right? But we also, through our efforts, maybe not as easily and maybe not as deep, but our Chidushim also matter. Okay, I'm a little bit paraphrasing. It's not exactly what the Pharisee Yaakov says, but it's late, so we'll leave it at that. So, Amir Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to believe in our Kiddushim. Take Rav Moshe Feinstein's advice seriously. Have a notebook. It's not so crazy. Have a notebook where you write down your ideas. Have a file on your computer. You have a nice idea, write it down. If you don't take yourself seriously today, then you won't take yourself seriously tomorrow. When does it start? Rav Moshe Feinstein also had to start somewhere. You don't have to be Rav Moshe Feinstein, but just believe that the ideas that Hashem puts in your head matter. Like the rabbi who ate his daughter's leaf. If Hashem put that crazy idea in your head, there's a reason it's being given to you. It's a form of nevuah. And Amir Tzashem, we should believe in it and hold on to our ideas. Transmit them to others. Okay?